Chapter 13. I sputtered as we approached the entryway that led to the stairway of Ada's nightclub. How tall is this building again?
Only 2 stories.
The succubus explained nonchalantly, and then she pressed the silver bar handle to open the door.
Why do you ask?
Because I know what's about to happen, I said with a nervous chuckle. I told you I was afraid of heights, so you're going to take me up to the top of your nightclub and then shove me off the roof to see if I transform.
Oh, you're sharp, Carter. But what would be the point of that? It's only a 2-story drop. Not much fear would be involved in that. At worst, you'd break your legs. That's not really much to be afraid of.
And we've already established pain doesn't do anything.
Actually, no, we haven't.
Ada trailed off as she opened the door.
Though that sounds like a very good thing to try if this plan doesn't work.
The dark-haired beauty stepped out into the stairwell, which looked like something from a school library or the back of a hotel. Its steps were made out of cracked gray concrete that looked stained with strange red, brown, and black stains all over. The walls of the stairwell were covered with a peeling eggshell white paint that had seen more dings, scratches, and bruises than a dominatrix, and next to it all was a rusted black railing. Then there was the smell, which reeked of a mixture of spilled alcohol, cigarette and marijuana smoke, and an unrecognizable odor that I didn't even want to think about.
Not to sound rude,
Janine said as we walked up the stairs.
But this stairwell looks like it might need some, upkeep. I know that, love. I haven't had anything changed in this area of the club since the whole building was renovated in 77. It's not like it gets much use other than smoke breaks and the occasional patrons who want to have rough, dirty sex after a long night of getting fucked up.
I think it actually kind of works, in a nostalgic, grimy nightclub sort of way.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It adds to the ambiance of the whole experience I'm trying to create here.
The three of us clomped up the stairs for another minute or two before we came to another brown fire door that read, Rooftop Access, Employees Only. Ada grabbed onto the metal bar and pushed it open, and then we stepped out into the warm air of the night. As we exited, the sounds of the club below became even more assaulting. The EDM music was now blaring wildly from the outdoor speakers, and I could hear the sounds of people chattering as they waited to get in on the sidewalk below. When I walked up to the edge of the roof, I peered over and saw there were at least 100 people in line, all dressed up in their night-on-the-town clothes. Beyond them was the skyline of Cincinnati, dotted with the lights of apartment windows and skyscraper logos, like the world's most corporate light bright. Whew. How have I never been here before? I whistled as I looked out over the scene before us. This place is hopping.
I was never one for clubs. I always have way too much studying to do.
Yeah, I can't really see you as the type of person to go out and get lit with a bunch of strangers. I laughed at the mere thought of Janine going clubbing.
Please. For me, a night of getting lit is sitting in the library, studying while I sip away on the red wine that's in my hydro flask.
To each their own. I shrugged. I've kind of toned it down in the last year or so, but when I turned 21, I was out on the town every single weekend. My liver's probably going to never recover from that.
Yet, you never stopped by here.
Ada said with a click of her tongue.
Oh, it's a shame. I think this would have been just your scene.
Does it have good tequila, whiskey, and Jägermeister? Because that's all it needs to be, my scene.
Then it sounds like the perfect place for you. I'm excited to have you around, Carter.
After Div's out of the way. And that can't happen until Carter learns how to control his werepanther powers. So, what exactly are we doing up here?
Oh, yes. I almost forgot.
Ada's wings popped out from behind her back, and the succubus ran at me full speed. Before I could even react, the woman tackled me off my feet, wrapped her arms around me, and then beat her wings harshly as we took to the sky.
What? Ada!
I gasped as my body was lifted into the air.
The fuck are you? Oh, fuck, 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 fuck!
My eyes widened as I watched the rooftop get further and further away, until Janine looked like she was the size of an ant. The warm summer wind whipped past my face as Ada flew us into the night sky, and after a few breathless moments, we finally passed through some clouds. As we did so, a cool mist passed across my whole body, and a calming sensation took over me. A few seconds later, Ada had me up above the clouds.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
The succubus sighed as she slowed herself down to a crawl and gestured to the view around us. Fluffy white mist blanketed the entire area below us, though I could still see a few of the bright lights shining through the fog. The night sky was bright with twinkling stars, and the crescent moon illuminated everything the eye could see. Ada was right, it was fucking beautiful. However, it was also really high up. How high do you think we are? I gulped as I tried not to look down.
I'm not sure, though if we're above the clouds, we'd need to at least be higher than 7,000, I think.
Seven thousand, I sputtered.
Or more.
I felt all the blood drain from my face as my heart sped up to the pace of a drum solo, and my limbs began to tremble. In all honesty, it was never really the act of being high up that scared the shit out of me. It was the fact that I could plummet thousands of feet to my death. Okay, it's not working. Time to take us back down now.
Really? I guess we can rule out fear then. Unless...
Ada, don't you dare! I began, but it was too late. The succubus let go of me, and I sensed gravity take over as I started to hurl toward the ground below. All I could do was let out a scream as I passed down through the misty clouds, and then I saw the lights of Cincinnati from above. My heart had now completely stopped beating, and it had migrated up into a giant lump in my throat. Finally, I felt a pair of arms wrap around me, and my momentum was halted.
Son of a bitch. I thought for sure that was going to work.
The succubus changed our trajectory, so we were aimed toward the roof of her nightclub, and then we shot down like a diving hawk. We landed right next to Janine, whose eyes were the size of dinner plates. Once Ada released her hold on me, I stumbled forward like a drunk, fell down onto the ground, and took a few long, deep breaths. My heart was pounding in my ears as my arms shook like rubber beneath me, and my head spun like a tilt-a-whirl. However, I was still human.
Are you okay, Carter?
Janine asked as she ran over and placed her hand on my back.
Ada, what was that?
Relax, sweetie.
Ada shrugged.
He was never in any real danger. I had the whole situation under control the entire time.
I know. I think that might be the problem. Don't be mad at her, Janine. She's just trying to help.
What do you mean, that might be the problem? I just dropped you from thousands of feet in the air. You very easily could have died.
No, I couldn't have. You said it yourself. I wasn't ever in any real danger. It's the same thing as when you tried to kill Janine. It was a completely empty threat because you didn't actually have intent to hurt either of us.
So what? Do you want me to go find some OLG members and sick them on you to make the danger real?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not even sure if danger or fear is what sets it off. I was starting to get a bit frustrated with the whole situation. We'd been at this for nearly 2 hours now, and we were still exactly in the same place we were at the beginning. Actually, no, we weren't. Now, I felt sick to my stomach.
Perhaps it's time to take a break. I've found I always have my moments of revelation when I'm relaxing in between study sessions.
That's not a bad idea. I may have made that flight look completely effortless, but it actually took a lot of energy. On top of that, flying between here and the alleyway was quite draining as well. I'm with Janine. I think if we all just take 30, we can come back refreshed and ready to solve this issue.
I'm all good with that. I chuckled as I stood back to my feet. Maybe by then I won't feel like I just got off a roller coaster. I wobbled as I took a few steps, but then I quickly regained my composure as I headed for the door.
Where are you going?
Janine asked from behind me. I'm gonna go get a drink. That'll definitely smooth my nerves. Do you want to come?
I'm pretty beat,
the redhead said as she nervously bit her lip. That's fine. I waved her off. I'll meet back up with you soon then.
Have a good time, dear.
Ada cooed as she waved at me.
If you need me, I'll be in my office taking a much-needed nap.
Oh, shit. I groaned as I patted my pants pocket. My wallet is long gone.
Oh, you have no need to pay for anything here.
Ada said as she reached into her perfect cleavage and pulled out a black metal credit card. It had VIP etched on the side with blue letters and looked really classy.
Just use this and they will know you are my... special guest.
Awesome, I said as I took the card from her fingers. Thank you.
No, thank you, Carter.
Ada purred at me as she ran her tongue over her upper lip.
Is there a quiet place I can go?
I heard Janine ask as I opened the door to the stairwell.
Preferably a place that's not around a bunch of people? I'll see what I can do, but it is a nightclub, love.
The door shut behind me with a loud metallic thud, and then I descended the concrete steps down to the first floor of the building. Once I got there, I passed through a second door, which led me back into the darkened, bustling hallway in the backstage area of the nightclub. And as I passed by one of the waiters, I gently grabbed onto his shoulder and stopped him in his tracks. Excuse me, I said in my most polite tone. Which way to the nightclub? Are you serious, bro? It's the first hall to the left through the double doors. Sheesh, new hires. The man pulled away and then ran off out of sight. Damn, this place must be really something, if it was this chaotic on a Sunday night. I followed the server's instructions down the hall and to the left, until I came to a set of darkened double doors, with two plexiglass windows near the top. The whole thing was separated by nothing but a rubber strip, and they swung open both directions as employees passed through. Every time they did so, I got a taste of what awaited me outside, so I finally walked up to the doors and pushed my way through. As I did so, my eardrums were assaulted by the sounds of a low techno beat that pulsed through my entire body and shook me to my core. Neon strobe lights of yellow, red, blue, and green flashed around in random motions at the center of the room, which illuminated the sweaty, drunken people who were dancing like maniacs. Just to the right of the dance floor was a square bar area lit up with strips of bright blue, Tron-like lights around the edges. I counted 8 bartenders on the other side of the square, all of whom hustled around as they tried to keep up with their orders. Meanwhile, there were at least 50 people at the bar waiting to order. Well, fuck. Maybe getting that drink was going to take longer than I thought. A DJ booth sat at the front of the dance floor, where a younger guy in a backward snapback hat and pink tank top bounced in time with the music and occasionally fiddled with the buttons on his machine. Behind him was a giant projection screen that flashed bright colors, shapes, and, every now and then, a random video clip. Around the perimeter of all this was an area full of slender, chrome and black cocktail tables. The final section of the club was located at the very edge of the building, where there were several navy blue leather booths and pristine black marble tables. Damn, how the fuck didn't I know about this place earlier? Probably because a poor college student like myself couldn't afford the cover charge. I made my way over to the bar area, where I instantly was swallowed up by the surrounding crowd.
We've been waiting for somebody to take our order for like 20 minutes,
a woman whined to the bartender.
We've only been here for 15 minutes,
the woman's friend said.
Exactly! So why is it taking so long?
I sauntered up to the space right beside the two women and leaned in against the bar. One of the bartenders looked up and made eye contact with me, but I simply silently motioned for him to take his time. There were plenty of other people here, and I was sure most of them wouldn't be as patient as I was.
Get ready for a 30-minute wait,
the woman from before warned me through a slur. Her shoulder-length blonde hair had obviously been highlighted to make it brighter, and it was parted at the left and framed her face like a window. Her eyes were hazel, which popped out even more since they were surrounded by purple eyeshadow and jet-black mascara. The woman's shade of natural pink lipstick was smeared around the edges of her mouth by something, or more likely somebody, and she wore a skin-tight red dress with tiny spaghetti straps, which put her cleavage on full display. I could tell just by looking at her, she was drunk off her ass. A second woman had her hand around the drunken one's shoulder. She had dark, mocha-colored skin and short brown hair, and a round face that was somewhat calming to look at. Her jade eyes were full of concern as she watched her blonde friend, but I could see from the smile on her face that she was amused by the whole situation. She wore a gold dress that was little more than an oversized t-shirt, and I wondered if she was going to expose herself just by bending over. The golden fabric of the dress split at her belly button into 2 thin strips, which came up around her chest and wrapped her breasts tightly against her body. Everything from the insides of her round, plump breasts down to the top of her waist was easy for me to ogle, and I let out an internal damn when I saw her toned belly. The last woman had similarly colored blonde hair as the first, though it was done up so her bangs came down over her left eye. Her almond-shaped eyes were nestled just above her petite nose and thin pink lips, and they were so blue they practically shone underneath the neon lights. She wore a silky sapphire-colored dress that came down just above her knees and trailed back up around her body until it wrapped around her neck. So her legs were slender, sleek, and exposed all the way down to the blue high heels on her feet. Unlike her bestie, this woman wasn't really showing off much of her upper body. But she didn't have to. The dress was so tight I could see every single curve.
I'm sorry about her.
The woman in the blue dress sighed.
She's had a few too many.
A few?
The second woman snorted.
I think Becca's had like 10 shots since we started tonight.
All I know is I haven't had enough!
The drunk lady said.
Maybe go take her to the booths?
The other blonde woman suggested as she placed her hands on her friend's shoulder.
Becca? Listen to me, Becca. Valerie is going to go take you over and sit down, okay? I'll bring you your drink.
See you in an hour.
The drunken blonde grumbled as she was led away by Valerie. The remaining girl turned back to the bar, noticed me watching her, quickly glanced down at my body to check me out, and then met my eyes with a half smile.
Hi.
Hi.
So, you come here often?
She blushed a bit as her eyes glanced at my lips. First time. But look at you, being a good friend and all.
What can I say?
The blonde shrugged.
Everybody knows that when you go out with Becca, you have to watch her like a hawk. I honestly feel kind of bad for Valerie right now, but I'm sorry I'm being rude. What's your name?
Carter Hatfield, I said as I held out my hand. Nice to meet you.
Lynette.
The woman tilted her head as she shook my hand.
But my friends call me Leia. As for my last name, well, I don't just give that away to strange men I meet at clubs, even if they are super hot.
Super hot? I had to remind myself to keep my mouth closed. I'd never had a girl make a pass at me this obviously before.
Yeah.
She smiled at me.
Are you here with friends?
They're upstairs.
Oh, they shouldn't leave you alone. You look like the kind of guy who gets into trouble.
I've gotten into a bit of trouble over the last few days. Leia, can I call you Leia?
We'll see how this night goes, troublemaker.
The blonde winked. Okay then, Lynette, I said, as a smirk crawled across my lips. Can I buy you and your friends some drinks?
You know, you're the fifth guy to ask us that since we came up to the bar.
So you've already got it taken care of? I asked as I probed the situation. I thought you said you were waiting to get your order.
I turned them all down. Most of them just see a group of women out in the town and think a round of drinks is enough to take them home for the night.
Well, you're in luck, because I have no intention of leaving this club tonight.
They'll kick you out. They did it to Becca last time we were here.
I know the owner. I shrugged. She's already said I can stay as late as I want. The beautiful woman pursed her lips as she thought it over, and then she shot me a bright smile.
Okay, Carter Hatfield. I'll take you up on your offer. On one condition, though.
What's that?
You have to come and join us. At least until we all finish our first round.
Was this real life? A beautiful, flirty woman just asked me to come and join her equally hot friends for a drink. Leia was a freaking 11 out of 10, and every instinct in my body told me she was into me. Maybe this was those werepanther pheromones Ada had mentioned earlier. For a split second, I wondered how Janine would feel about me hanging out with a bunch of other beautiful women, but it wasn't like I was going to have sex with any of these girls. Yeah, fuck it. It would be nice to turn my brain off from werepanther mode for a half hour and just chat with some gorgeous drunk girls. I was absolutely positive the conversation wouldn't be stimulating, but I just really needed a break from my crazy new reality. Sure, I'll join you. I probably sounded a bit too excited.
I'm so sorry about your wait.
One of the women bartenders panted as she nearly fell against the bar.
It's been a really long night.
That's fine,
Leia said with a smile.
He and I are together on this one, okay?
You have no idea how much easier that makes things.
We'll do a Malibu Sunset, a screwdriver, and a strawberry Long Island iced tea, plus four lime jello shots, and whatever Carter here wants.
Do you know how to make penicillin?
Of course I do. What kind of whiskey do you want me to make it with?
Lagavulin, I said, after I spotted the bottle on the top shelf as I was handing the bartender my VIP card. I'd never actually been able to afford to drink Lagavulin, so I was rather happy Ada had given me the card.
You got it, VIP?
She winked at me as she handed me back the card, and then she shuffled away to make the drinks.
VIP?
Leia raised an eyebrow at me. I said I knew the owner.
Yeah, but I kind of guessed you were lying.
She glanced down at my lips again and then looked into my eyes.
What in the actual hell is a penicillin, a drink made out of mold?
No. I shook my head. It's scotch, lemon, and ginger syrup. One of my buddies showed it to me my sophomore year, and it's been my go-to ever since.
So I'm assuming that means you're a bear cat then?
The blonde woman narrowed her eyes. Suddenly, my heart started to race. How the fuck did she know I wasn't completely human? Oh, then it hit me. She was talking about our fucking mascot. Oh, yeah, I go to UC. History student extraordinaire.
Interesting.
Leah nodded.
I go there for cellular biology.
Fuck, you got me beat. You're gonna be raking in the bucks while I'm struggling to find a teaching job or some shit.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
The blonde woman said with a warm smile.
You seem to have a good head on your shoulders, so I'm sure you'll excel in whatever you decide to do.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Here you go.
The bartender announced as she returned with our drinks. Leah and I thanked the woman before we picked up the glasses and shots and carefully walked over to meet her friends.
Leah?
Valerie gasped when she saw us approaching.
We leave you alone for 2 minutes and you pick up a guy?
He's hot!
Becca declared through a drunken cackle.
Easy, ladies.
Leah said with a roll of her eyes.
This is Carter and he offered to buy our drinks. Thank you, Carver.
You're very welcome, Becca. I laughed, and then I stepped aside so Leah could sit down. Can I call you Becca? Or are you like Lynette here and want to be called by your formal name for now?
Oh my gosh, Leah. You're doing the Lynette, not Leah thing on this guy? He just dropped like $100 on our drinks.
Oh, what can I say? Unlike some people at this table, I have standards. Damn.
Becca guffawed as she slapped her hand repeatedly against Valerie's shoulder.
I'm pretty sure she's talking about you, girl.
Valerie whispered, and Becca's face fell in an instant.
I have plenty of standards. They're just different than yours. I bet you another round of drinks, I can walk up to the next guy I see who matches my tastes, and you'll all agree he's a 10 out of a 10. Even you, Carson.
Carter, I corrected the drunk woman as I sat down on the sapphire cushion. And I don't think you should be going up to any dudes right now. Not in your current state.
Believe it or not, this is one of Becca's more timid nights.
I'll totally hit on the next hot guy. I just need to get a few more drinks in me first. Woo!
What the hell are you talking about? There's a dude right here in front of us that looks like he was sculpted by the gods.
Please, ladies. I snickered and raised my glass. You're gonna make me blush. Bottoms up? The three women all grabbed their cocktails and raised them high in the air. Then we clanged our glasses together, pressed them to our mouths, and took a long sip. The smoky scotch in my penicillin was somehow as smooth as fresh-fallen snow, and it slid down my throat so easily I barely even knew it was there. Most of the alcohol was covered up by the citrusy taste of the lemon and the spicy warm ginger, and I'd guzzled half the frickin' cup before I even knew what had happened. Becca completely smashed her strawberry Long Island iced tea in one long chug, while Valerie and Leah both sipped at their drinks slowly.
Come on, guys! I can't do these jello shots on my own!
Easy there, Jack Torrance. We'll get to the shots soon enough.
You a Stephen King fan? I raised an eyebrow at the woman in the gold dress.
Nah.
She shrugged before she brushed a bit of her brown hair out of her face.
He's okay, I guess. But what kind of a creative writing student would I be if I didn't know Stephen King?
Fair enough, I said, and then I turned to Becca. So, what do you do, Becca? Rebecca, whatever you want me to call you.
I do numbers.
Becca stated with a firm nod and a stern glare.
I take the bad numbers and I turn them into good numbers with science. She's studying accounting.
Leah translated. Nice. If I ever get my own business, you'll be the first one I come to. Not on a night like tonight, though, obviously.
Please.
The blonde in the red dress snorted.
I'm still good to do the math. Give me some numbers.
You sure? I asked, but Leah and Valerie both just nodded. Okay. What's 2,600,074 minus 1,300,510.
1,299,564.
The blonde slurred without missing a beat. Is that right? I raised an eyebrow at the other two women.
like clockwork.
Leah giggled as she held up her phone to show everybody her friend's calculation was accurate.
We might give this one shit about being a dumb blonde sometimes.
Valerie teased as she wrapped her arm around Becca.
But she's easily the smartest one here at the table.
Stop! I'm totally not the smartest one here. But I am gonna remember this the next time you make one of your airhead jokes.
She's not gonna remember anything.
Leah whispered with a giggle, and I nearly spat out my drink. The four of us spent the next few minutes shooting the shit as we chatted about our lives, our future career aspirations, and even things like the professors at UC that we hated and loved, and all the crazy shit we'd done in our time at the university. It didn't take long for us to finish off our cocktails, which meant it was time for the chaser. Becca grabbed onto the first little shot glass of wobbly green jello and held it above her head.
Alrighty, guys. Think you can handle one of these bad boys?
Please, my liver's been through way worse than this.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. Didn't you say you've never been here before?
No, but what's that got to do with anything? A jello shot's a jello shot.
Oh, like hell it is. These little guys are called flat asses for a reason, because one or two of these will put you flat on your ass.
It couldn't be that bad. I'd taken plenty of shots in my day, and I knew it was usually just vodka mixed in with jello mix. I can handle that shit easily. I'll take your word for it, I said with a half smirk as I picked up the jiggly green cup and then gestured to the beautiful women around me. Ladies first, right?
Fuck yeah!
Becca cheered as she pressed the glass against her lips, tilted her head back, and gulped it down. Valerie and Leah followed their friend's lead, and when their heads came back down, they both cringed and shuddered. Oh, come on, I said with a roll of my eyes. They can't be that bad. I pressed the jello shot to my lips, took a deep breath, and then tried to psych myself up. In one quick motion, I opened up my mouth, tilted the cup and my head back at the same time, and felt the cool gelatin plop down into my mouth. Then I gulped it down without a second's hesitation, and the jello shot slid into my throat like it was water. Then the flavor hit me. It tasted amazingly sweet and tart, just like a lime, but it was so saturated with vodka that my throat felt like it had been pricked by a million little needles. I covered my mouth as I coughed twice, but then I regained my composure. My eyes were a watery monsoon, and there was now a warm, tingly feeling in all of my appendages. But I'd taken the fabled flat-ass shot, and I was still upright.
Attaboy, Conrad!
Becca clapped her hands together.
Now, who wants to take me up to get another drink?
I'll help you, sweetie.
Valerie said. And then she scooted out of the booth.
I think these two need a little bit of alone time anyways.
Becca snorted and tried to stifle her giggle as her friend helped her up to her feet. And then they walked arm in arm over to the bar area.
I wonder if they'll get the cheap stuff now that you aren't paying.
Speaking of which, that was kind of rude of them to not offer to buy us around, I said as I crossed my arms, raised my eyebrows, and let out a comically over-exaggerated huff. I see how it is. Carter Hatfield is just Mr. High Roller around here.
I mean, you do have a VIP card. If the rumors about this club are true, then it takes a very, very well-connected person to get into Ada's good graces.
It didn't take me long to get in yours. I shrugged. Maybe I just worked the old Hatfield charm on her.
Right.
Leah said, as she stared at me with her big eyes.
So, how do you know Ada exactly? Are you two like a couple or something?
There it was. I tried to contain my smile as I realized what Leah was actually doing. She was prodding to see if I was available. Not a couple. I wouldn't even go so far as to say we're friends. More like business partners.
Now you're really fucking with me. You're business partners with the owner of one of the hottest clubs in this part of Cincy?
Maybe that's not the right word either. Let's just say Ada and I both have a mutual goal, and we're working together to try and achieve it. That's really all I can say without getting into the confidential stuff.
But you're not a couple,
the woman repeated with a raised eyebrow. Traditionally, I'd been horrible at this sort of thing. I always said something awkward or off-putting right when it looked like I was about to seal the deal with a girl I liked. Even when I said all the right things, my hands would get all sweaty and my heart would nearly pound out of my chest, just trying to muster up the courage to ask somebody out. But not this time. I didn't know if it was the fact I'd already wooed over Janine, or if it was just the panther blood that now flowed through my veins. But either way, I wasn't going to miss my shot this time. You know, I said with a smirk, If you want my number, all you have to do is ask. Leah's eyes lit up as a smile spread across her face, and she instantly reached down into her purse, pulled out her phone, and then tapped on the screen until she got to where she needed to be.
Okay then, Mr. High Roller. I've, never given my number out to a dude I just met in a club, but there is something about you. Just don't give me a fake number, okay?
Who the fuck would want to give you a fake number? Any guy would be lucky to get a text from you, let alone a phone call or even a date. What's your number? I'll text you right after you give it to me so you can know for sure.
Okay.
She said, and then she told me her number while I typed it into my new phone. This worked out for the best, considering I had no idea what my new phone number was. There, I said as I texted my name to her number. Now you have mine.
So I do,
she said as she quickly typed on her phone. My phone buzzed, and I glanced down at the screen.
Hey there, handsome.
Huh. Some random girl I met at a club just texted me and called me handsome. I wonder if she's into cellular biology.
Very funny.
Leah rolled her eyes.
I hope you're not as much of a jokester when I need help studying for a history exam, or when I'm bored and want to talk to somebody, or when I want to go out for drinks or something.
Just shoot me a text and I'll be there. Leah and I sat there and chatted for a few minutes longer, until finally, the woman craned her neck in the direction of the bar.
Valerie and Becca have been gone for a while. I hope everything... Oh, shit.
What's up? I asked as I turned around and looked for the other two women.
They got caught by a couple of creepers,
the blonde woman growled. Sure enough, there were three greaseball-looking dudes standing on all sides of Valerie and Becca. They all looked to be in their late 30s or so, with slick-back hair and all-black biker-like outfits that just screamed, peaked in high school. These sort of guys were legends around UC. Everybody made jokes about how they'd come out to the bars around campus and try to hit on any young woman they thought they could bag. Sometimes they even got a bit too aggressive, to the point the police had to be called. I wasn't about to let that happen. Then again, I couldn't jump to conclusions. Maybe these guys were just locals who frequented this club, and they were locked in a friendly conversation with the two women. Of course, the fact they'd literally positioned themselves around Valerie and Becca so they couldn't walk away told another story. I tried to focus my attention on their conversation, but it took a hot minute. There were so many sounds going on around us that it was practically sensory overload, but I was finally able to hone in on the words of the biker men.
Hey, you sure you don't need a ride home, sweetie?
I heard one of the men ask via my enhanced hearing.
I got a sweet Harley I could take you on.
No thanks. We brought an Uber.
Ubers are for pussies.
Another one of the men laughed.
Come with us, girls. We'll show you a real good time.
Okay, we definitely had a situation going on.
Good thing I brought my pepper spray,
Leah said as she reached into her purse. You just hang tight here. You don't need to get involved with this.
Are you crazy? There are three of them and only one of you. And frankly, they look way tougher than either of us.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. I laughed as I slid out of the booth and turned to face the scene. I'll take care of it, Leah. Tell you what, if I end up needing you and your pepper spray, then feel free to jump right in. Deal?
Fine, but be careful,
Leah said with a frown.
I'm sure these guys will try to go all alpha on you when you try to confront them.
Part of me hoped they'd try. Because if they did, I would show them what a real animal looked like. I slowly approached the bar right as one of the guys put his arm around Valerie.
Come on, darling,
he drunkenly snickered as she tried to pull away.
I got something big I can put in your muffler.
I'm good, thanks,
Valerie huffed, but she couldn't break the man's grip.
Conrad!
Becca blurted out when her eyes drifted over to me. Welp, so much for being stealthy. My plan was simple. I was going to try and disarm the situation calmly, using nothing but my words and my wits. I wasn't going to tear these bastards a new asshole or snap their arms or anything like that. Unless, of course, they tried it first. Then I would bathe in their fucking blood. Wait, what the fuck was I thinking? Normally I got woozy at the sight of a deep paper cut, and now I was walking up to tough guys in a bar looking for a fight. I guess becoming a werepanther was like going through puberty. It hits you out of the blue and it hits you hard. Hey, Becca, I said as I did a slight wave at the girls. Did you two get those drinks you were after?
Sure they did,
the man on my left interjected.
They wouldn't let us pay for them, though. It's too bad. That's money they could have used for the cab ride home tomorrow.
I'm sure they had their reasons, I said with a fake smile. But if you guys will excuse us, we're all old friends and have a lot of catching up to do.
Old?
The man on the right snorted, and then he leaned in close to Becca.
You guys ain't old. You're nice and young, so innocent and soft and pure.
Becca visibly recoiled at the man's actions, but he wouldn't let up.
Come on, dude.
I warned the guy in as nice a voice as I could muster. You're obviously bothering her. All three of the biker men turned toward me with pure vitriol on their faces.
Us and the ladies are having a good time,
the third man said, and his upper lip curled into a snarl.
In fact, you're starting to ruin our little shindig, so go play in the street or something. Yeah,
the man on the right added.
Why don't you go back to your table and beat your dick off, since that's the only action a snot-nosed kid like you will ever see.
You do realize you're ordering another dude to jerk off, right? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
What, is that what gets the old limp noodle going nowadays? He said, beat it, kid!
The man in the middle stuck his finger in my face.
This is your last warning.
My warning? I growled, as white-hot rage built in my stomach. I'm the one who's warning you assholes.
Oh.
The biker on the left whistled as he looked at his friends.
Little bitch is trying to act cool in the hopes of scoring some pussy. Why don't we take him down a notch?
With pleasure,
the man at the center said as he cracked his knuckles.
You just make sure those little chickadees don't go anywhere. Not before we've had our fun with them.
I felt it again. White-hot rage was boiling up from the deepest pits of my stomach and overtaking my body. However, what really set me off was when the man on the left slipped behind Valerie and Becca.
Ready for the show, babes,
he cackled as he slapped both of their asses. Valerie and Becca both let out whimpers of fear as they tried to move away, but the man just threw his arms around them and held them in place. That was when I sensed the beast start to take over. Fuck, not here in front of all these people. I couldn't transform now, so I used every fiber of my willpower to keep my powers at bay. I clenched my fists and closed my eyes as I forced the werepanther back down into the darkest depths of my soul. Then, one of the biker's fists smashed against my face. Pain shot through my right cheek as I fell back onto my ass, and I quickly sprang back to my feet.
Carter!
I heard Leah scream from the table. I finally opened my eyes and saw the two men approaching with assholish grins on their faces. But their grins faded into curious frowns when they got a little closer.
What the fuck is wrong with his eyes?
The man in the middle asked. Son of a bitch. It was happening whether or not I wanted it to. I had to make this quick.
Who gives a shit?
The second guy said.
Let's just kick his ass and be done with...
Before he could even finish his sentence, I sprang from my position, tossed up my feet, and slammed the heels of my shoes straight into the fucker's chest. There was a wet crack from the blow, and he let out a yowl of pain as he flew backwards and slammed into the bar. I twisted around so I landed on all fours, and then I went for my second target. He was already coming at me with a haymaker, so I shut that shit down real quick. I jumped up as I threw out my left hand and caught his blow without much effort. Then I hauled back and slugged him in the face as gently as I could. The man's head twisted to the left as a mouthful of blood and teeth shot out onto the floor. He stumbled back a few steps as he reached up and assessed the damage, and then he let out a scream of terror before he turned tail and fled. And then there was one.
What the fuck?
The last biker growled as he let go of the girls, reached into his pants, and pulled out a switchblade. He took one lunge at me with his weapon, but he didn't stand a chance. As I sidestepped his attack, I tossed out my hand, grabbed his wrist, and squeezed. There was a sickly snapping sound as all the bones in his hand were broken like dry tinder, and he screamed in agony. However, I wasn't going to let this guy go. He was the worst of them all, and I was going to make sure he paid the price. I yanked the bastard toward me as I tossed up my right knee. My kneecap slammed into his stomach, hard, and he let out a gasp as all the wind was knocked out of his lungs. Then, without missing a beat, I slammed my foot into the ground, spun around, and threw that fucker over into the bar. He landed with a hard smack against the neon blue and black wall, which cracked from the impact of the blow. The biker groaned as he coughed up a small bit of blood, and then he slid down onto the ground and passed out. There. I could still sense all three of the men's heartbeats, so I hadn't killed them. Maybe I could contain this thing after all. My eyes told me a different story, though. When I caught a glimpse of myself in the bar's mirror, I could see my pupils were now blown and surrounded by bright, glowing emerald irises. At the same time, I noticed my hair had become much more unkempt, and my nails and teeth were starting to grow by the second. I needed to get out of here before I fully were-panthered out.
Connor!
Becca blubbered drunkenly, and her eyes were wide with horror.
Thank you!
I couldn't take in my hero's praise, since people had started to scream, and I could see bouncers pushing through the crowd toward me. So I instantly darted off toward the back room, where I threw open the double doors and began to slink down the hallway. I quickly made it to Ada's office, and then I threw open the door and fell down onto the ground in a heap.
Carter!
Janine's voice gasped as she ran over to me. I'm changing! I growled as I felt the muscles in my arms and legs begin to elongate. I had to get out of there before anybody saw. Within seconds, all of my limbs were slender, hairy appendages, and I sensed my face widen out into a firm, thick snout. I'd completed the transformation.
What the fuck happened out there?
Ada demanded as she rose from her seat behind her desk.
Why did you transform?
Was it Div?
Janine asked with wide eyes.
Did he attack you? Is he here?
No! I said as I stood to my feet and tried to shake off the aches of the transformation. It was just three random biker assholes. I'm sorry, Ada, but probably just made a big mess for you to deal with out there.
Don't worry about it, darling.
The succubus scoffed with a wave of her hand.
I've cleaned up so many messes over the years. How many bodies?
Bodies?
Yes. How many people did you kill?
None. I shook my head. I just hurt them really bad.
Excellent. This'll be a quick fix, then. Stay right there, my friends.
The succubus dashed out of the room, which meant Janine and I were alone.
So, we were right. It is danger that makes you change. Or, was it pain?
Neither. But I think I have it finally figured out.
What is it, then?
It's my male instincts, Janine. I can transform when I want to fight or fuck.